Hey, everybody, welcome to Mental Health Matters. This is Tom Duff with St. Louis Counseling, the podcast that breaks down stigma, makes mental health okay to talk about. And we're back again today with the two, I think we call them the two normal guys, right? Or dudes or whatever. But really, normal is whatever it is to you. Because I think sometimes we think, well, you got to conform to certain standards, right? But as you know, of these two, they're just normal. It's who you are. You guys aren't any by means societal examples of what perfection is. So it's just normal for whatever it is. How are you guys doing?
Thank you, Tom. So I'm glad you said that when we get 14 million views about how imperfect we are.
That's what we're going for. Your two mugs is going to put us over a million views. Yeah. It'll be season 7 of Mental Health Matters. Glad to bring you guys back because we're now in another stage of the new normal, right? In that sense. But we kind of were talking ahead of time and thinking about, we all have daily stressors, right? If I'm not mistaken, we're hearing the term mental health talked about in the media, in the news, in mainstream world all the time now. And that's because of COVID. All of this is talked about. I think every nightly news episode, you know, the national news has some type of expert. And let me also say, you can be an expert without having to be a doctor. You know, I'm sure I'm trying to get my way in to like the NBC nightly news of Lester. But it's all over the place, mental health. And so when we talk about that, and we always promote the concept of we all have mental health. Some people have a mental illness, but we're all experiencing mental health. So daily stressors affect our mental health, right? So maybe each of you talk about, like, through the course of a day, you have your work stressors, but what's those other like stressors that exist?
Go ahead, man.
Well, I was going to say that for me, like, this is such a small one, but just to kind of start the conversation, I do a lot of running, so marathon running. And whenever you're training, you always have to get that run in. So the minute you wake up in the morning, the first thing I start stressing about is what time can I get an hour and a half to go run today? And then you throw in like all the stuff, like the normal stuff, the work stressors, I'm a single guy, it's just me and my dog, but you know, I gotta get
hand
exercise.
It's hard to believe. Yeah.
We get a phone number at the bottom of the
They can contact me.
It's called 1-800-DORK. Yeah. Right to John's cell phone.
But you know, just the like taking care of him, getting to my office. I own a business, so the email starts piling up the first thing in the morning. So it's just like those are the things, like just very surface level, that the minute I wake up, my brain starts kind of trying to understand, I guess.
So I'll give you one semi-serious one that's not actually, it's not serious at all, and then maybe one that's a little bit more serious, right? So the one that's not serious at all is, on a week-to-week basis, especially during when the weather is nice, I cannot tell you the amount of time that I spend on when I'm gonna cut the damn grass.
Yeah.
I cannot even explain.
You have to look at the weather. You've got to...
All of it, right? Like, my son's got karate on this day, and we got to go this day, and it's like, when am I going to cut the grass? Oh, it's going to rain that day. Mm-hmm. The amount of time that's spent, literally for something that where it's... the grass gets a little too tall, you just cut it.
Yeah.
It's not that big of a deal.
Yeah.
But the amount of time, and my wife is even like... okay, daddy needs to cut the grass daddy time. You know what I mean? It's like, you don't even know how to address this.
You yell at people for walking on your lawn yet? Have you reached that point?
No, I don't do that.
That's cool.
Well, no, you got the poop bags there in case.
The poop, though, the poop drives me crazy. Yeah, the poop drives me. And the amount of litter, the amount of crap people throw on the yard. And we live on a street that's not too busy, but it's busy enough. Mm-hmm. Like the amount of beer cans and beer bottles and cigarette packs.
And not even yours. Yeah.
No.
That's the sad part.
But then you throw in like...
those ones were not, I don't think, ours. Yeah.
Okay. But then you throw in the grocery store trip during the week. The Then like
all of it.
Then you have the groceries and you have fresh stuff. I try to buy as much fresh as I can, but then there's the stress of like, I need to eat this before it goes bad. Yes. You're like, which is such a dumb. Uh-huh. And I mean, again, like I realize like, I'm very lucky to be saying I'm stressed about the food I have. Plenty of people, but those are just the things that
are normal daily things that are part of our mental health.
Yeah,
you know, and that's the thing. This is all mental health. All mental health.
Yeah.
God forbid you're a sports fan because you throw that in. Oh, you know, watching the Blues and everything else. Like, I don't know. I don't know why we continue to trust in athletes. Mm-hmm. They just let us down most of the time.
You're talking to a Cubs fan, so it's like I have a cushion of just comfort where I'm just okay. I'm okay with it.
I think you need to pick a different team.
You can't. That'd be wrong. That'd mess me up. I'd feel I would be betrayal. That's like a hypocrite if I went to a different team.
Don't you think they should start winning at some point?
Hey, 2016, they won, and 1985, the Bears won. So I'm good. I'm good.
There's a lot of political jokes I think I could make about 2016 and different things that happened. But let's
get back into two examples. You had the grass mowing, and then what else did you have?
So here's the one that's a little bit more serious, right? And I think this is personal for everybody, right? So everybody's got their thing or their things that they worry about. And so for me, it is, you know, I've got a history, unfortunately, with some things that I've kind of have to deal with and whatnot, right? And for me, it is about making sure that I break that cycle of insert whatever word you like to use, mm-hmm. right, with my kids. And so it's about, and it's like this balance, I think, and I think everyone can kind of relate to this if you have children or if you're in a relationship. It's this balance between being selfish versus selfless, right? Especially during this time where it's like, look, we all need a little bit of time by ourselves, but we also need to spend time with the people that are in our families or the relationships we have, right? Mm-hmm. And when you have young children, it's a constant reminder that they don't know any better, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know that mom and dad, okay, just need a couple minutes right now. They just know what a 7-year-old knows. Mm-hmm. And so it's that constant battle of, look, I never want my children, right, without getting too deep, to kind of be in the same position that I was in, right? Mm-hmm. But at the same time, right, there's this balance between you can't overly protect them. You can't spend, you know what I mean? They got to spend time being bored. They got to spend time with each other. They got to just go outside and play, right? And it's that kind of internal battle for me, if you will, right? And I think that's what most parents probably deal with, right?
It's when I was a little kid, my mom would come home after teaching all day, and like the minute she'd walk in the door, I'd be like, hey, can we, I saved up $1.50, can I go buy a pack of cards? Can I, I didn't have a ride. She was and she'd be like, can I just have 10 minutes to just sit down?
Seriously, 10 minutes.
And if I gave that to her and then I asked, it was great. Like it was, but I didn't appreciate that or understand that until, I've gotten older. I think building off of that, like, you know, a stressor that we're all experiencing right now is the world coming back to life. Mm-hmm. We were talking about on the way in, like, I don't know how to, like, for a year I did nothing, and now there's all these opportunities to do things, and it's like, I want to say yes to everything because I don't want to feel like I'm missing anything, but then next thing you know, you're like, every night of the week, you're like, you're doing something, and so that's exhausting and stressing.
And you fall into the same trap. Yeah. That's the trap we were in before COVID, right? Yeah. I mean, are we going to learn or are we not going to learn? That's the trap.
Yeah, right. And when you think about that, those thoughts you guys were just talking about is the stuff that enters our minds every single day. We're thinking about it, we're dealing with it. It's all related to mental health. It has nothing to do with a mental illness, right? It's just about the normal struggle. So when you see all these media flashes of, we need to talk about mental health, we need to be able to just have these discussions, this is it right here. This is the example.
It was cool, last night I was watching some of the NBA games, and I saw on the ticker, the bottom where they'll have the scores, and, you know, who had, they were running a message like the NBA, I think because it's mental health awareness month. They were running a ticker with like a 1-800 number you could call if you were experiencing anything or yeah. whatever. So I thought that was cool.
Yeah,
you know,
exactly.
It's nice to see. I think a lot of that, we've talked about Kevin Love in the past. Like, he was yeah. one of the first guys in the NBA to kind of embrace it and kind of be public about it. So, mm-hmm.
you know, and we've talked about this a couple times. I think at some point we need to, and I don't know how to say this without sounding like an a-hole, so I'll just say it, I mm-hmm. guess, is at some point we need to have conversations about these different things, but we also need to start doing more stuff, right? Conversations are great, mm-hmm. but there actually needs to be action also at different stages for different mm-hmm. people. People are at different places, right, mm-hmm. obviously. But one of the things that we've got to do also is change how we look at this. We start talking about mental health, and then automatically, I'll just speak for myself, it just always has somewhat of a negative connotation to mm-hmm. it, right?
It's heavy.
It's always heavy. It's always negative. And it's and especially now, you know, you hear it on the news or you hear people talking about it, and maybe even people who are watching this, mm-hmm. right? It's got mm-hmm. a negative connotation to it, and that's got to change, because when John's talking about running, when someone's talking about physical health, nobody ever says, "Ooh, man, like, oh, that's mental health." It's like, yeah, the guy's taking care of himself.
Yeah.
She's taking care of herself, whatever.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
Why is this any different? Mm-hmm. It feels different, right? But I think we need to start talking also about so many of the positives of this to change just kind of the feel of how this thing is, mm-hmm. right? It doesn't have to be this heavy.
To the stressors and the gateway, almost those stressors. For me, the stressors are a gateway to my mental health. Like, uh-huh. I will feel a couple weeks ago, I mean, I'm still kind of in the middle of it. We're trying to hire a few people, and whenever I hire at work, it consumes all my time. We're a small company. And so I can directly tie my mental health to when I'm when I'm mm-hmm. hiring, I'm like,
you know,
I get anxious. I get, mm-hmm. I can't sleep. I can't. So it just kind of is that gateway for me to the like anxiety and like almost mm-hmm. panic attacks starting. Not in the like probably like very mild case yeah. of panic attacks.
You're feeling something.
I'm feeling it for sure.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you think about how you talked about that ticker at the bottom of the screen during the games, right? That's like a step in the right direction. Right. So it's
one
at
person
least
calls.
There. It's at least there that it's actually there. So it's like
it's normal.
That's some action. Yeah,
yeah.
To help. And then who's, you know, predominantly, right? You don't want to stereotype men and women, but mostly probably guys are watching the NBA, right?
Yeah.
And you can even break that down cultural, you know, who's watching it. And then that's getting the message out, you know. And then maybe if the NBA is endorsing something or the NFL, MLB, whatever, then it's maybe in the right direction. And then when you think about, you know, as you were talking, I was thinking about commercials, right? And so you see some of these commercials for, oh, everything from, you know, helping males perform better
and commercial there is.
And it's about sometimes even that's phrased in a way that if you do this, if you take care of this, you know, you'll feel better with it could be diabetes and all that. But mental health, some of the commercials you do see still has that if you're feeling lonely, if you're feeling this, and it
still has a stigma around
instead you could flip it to be more about, hey, if you want to feel better about your day, if you want to feel energized, go talk to a counselor, you know, a whole different realm. So as you talk about that, it makes me think about the vibe that's out there.
We were talking last night, and don't worry, I won't share your big idea, but
that's right.
You know, it's like we all put so many things, like we all, not all, but a lot of people will go to the gym, they'll read, they'll eat healthy, they'll do all these things. But when it comes to the mental side of it, a lot of us just were never taught to take care of that side
of
it.
Not at all. Not at all.
And if you've experienced anxiety or depression or any of that, or just not knowing how to deal with stress, I mean, it's debilitating.
Yeah.
You know, and the thing is, both of you could speak to this much more than I can, because you're both professionally in positions where you have to hire people, right, and whatnot. But when you start considering I would suspect the best employees, right? They're not the ones who are the best advertisers or marketers, right? Or maybe who went to the best schools, mm-hmm. right? It's the people who are resilient, right? The people For sure. who have grit. It's the people who, you know, that they may not know this, but they're going to figure it out or ask questions, yeah. right? So why don't we teach that to our children? Mm-hmm. It just doesn't, you know what I'm saying? And when I say it doesn't make sense, I should not be suggesting like I've always thought this way, right? Mm-hmm. And no one else does, because that's certainly not the case. Mm-hmm. But as we think about this, it just doesn't make sense why we don't work on this when this is going to help them more than anything else for the rest of their life.
I think we are doing it, but in the wrong ways.
That's a good point. That's right.
You got to be a superhero. You have to be like, do it in all the wrong ways, probably.
Yeah. That's
or really just the unrealistic ways.
Mm-hmm. Well, it's like, you know, I remember back to high school, and there was, I think, maybe 1 week, because you had to take health class and all that. And there was 1 week that maybe talked about mental health.
Like in health class.
You know, and it was or it wasn't maybe a week. It was like a chapter that was part of your week. And then the reality is, like, you know, we've been kind of preaching for a while because, you know, we put therapists inside of schools, you know, and to do the clinical work. But it's like, if we could teach a class inside a school in regards to, like, give us a semester to talk about wellness, because you do PE all year round.
Well, I was gonna say, you know? I hate to say it, but it'd be a lot more valuable than PE.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I mean, the way PE is now taught in high school, a mental health course would be a lot more valuable, in my opinion.
I will push back just a little bit and almost say that I think the reason, I think it needs to become a part of the curriculum. Right.
Like daily so meditation or.
Yeah. Like, I think it's so in the sense that when PE is part of curriculum, mm-hmm. right. Mm-hmm. So every day when my oldest son comes home, right. Mm-hmm. From school, he's always talking about playing outside. He's sweating. Right. Even our youngest does that. Right. Yeah. It's part of the curriculum. So when they talk about when they're learning how to add, for example, mm-hmm. they'll use building blocks. It's physical. Right.
Yeah.
Let's do the same thing with mental health. Let's talk about mental health in some capacity when we're talking about social studies, when we're talking about math, when we're talking about, so it's a part of life.
You've got PE class, you've got whatever, you've got your mental mm-hmm. health class.
Right, yeah. And so, you know, and I kind of use this analogy. Just think of, I remember as a kid, we would have one day a year, which was Earth Day. Uh-huh. Right, and it was that day, and
everybody's recycling that day.
Everyone's got to recycle today.
Yeah, next
right?
day they're back to cans on the.
Everything's back to normal, right? So I'm thinking, all right, if climate change is, and it is as big of an issue as it is, uh-huh. right? If it became part of the curriculum, mm-hmm. then you have people who live a life, right, that is supportive of trying to make the earth a better place.
Exactly.
Why is mental health any different? If we grow up in an environment where mental health is a positive thing to talk about, then it's never going to be a negative thing to talk about.
Mm-hmm. And you make those connections within, like you talk about PE. So it's important for, like you said, your son to come home and feel sweaty, and what that did, how is that tied into his mental health? How does the PE teacher or the curriculum say, hey, you know what? Not only are you out of breath and your body is sweaty and all that, and you're breathing heavy, you actually, you know, created these endorphins, and you got rid of like all your test anxiety that you have for tomorrow because you're relaxed in that
sense.
You
know, it was crazy building off that. A couple of years ago, I did that run across, no big deal. I ran across the state of Ohio.
No big deal. Yeah.
Anyway.
What did it take you, like 6 days?
Yeah, 6 days. I know you could have done it in like five.
I don't think I could have done it in five. No. I think everyone could have done it in like four.
But whenever I got done, I had to I just had to take some time off. My legs were like destroyed. Well, soon after that, I mean, strong anxiety came on. Mm-hmm. And the more and more I learned about it, and we may have talked about this before, but basically I was flooding my brain for all those weeks during training and whatever mm-hmm. with endorphins. Mm-hmm. I think endorphins, endorphins. And then I shut it down. And so it was almost like withdrawal, like the way I understood it. And apparently it's very common in the runner's ultra world. Community mm-hmm. or whatever. Yeah.
Michael Phelps talks about this, like, and I don't remember exactly what the term is, but it's this basically scenario where somebody is at whatever personal top level they're at. Obviously for him, it's gold medals in the Olympics, right?
Yeah, he's kind of at the top. Yeah.
But then to John's point, it's whenever we're there and then we just stop. Mm-hmm. And it's like, now what do I do to fill my time? What do I do to fill my mental space, and all the emotions, right? I mean, if John is thinking from day one, when he wakes up, I got to run today, when that's gone.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's got to be filled, that time, that
you
space.
You miss it
gotta
from that standpoint, but there's also like literally like a chemical thing that's going on too that you're missing, which is just, it's crazy to me.
And that's what makes mental health side so real, right? Because the chemicals that are inside our body that are making this function, they're affected because you took that away.
Yeah.
It's not just that you're going to lose muscle tone or things of that nature, or your legs are tight and you're moving. It's actual chemical imbalance that can, or it has to re-regulate itself.
Yeah. And we should also mention for everyone out there who's listening, for everyone who's listening, who is exactly like I was, let's say 14 months ago, all right? Mm-hmm. This is real. Mm-hmm. The chemical imbalance is real. Whether or not Severe Dar of 2019 wanted to accept that, whether or not I believe that I had chemical imbalances, doesn't matter. It is real, just like gravity is real, just like the planet is round, even though there are people out there who think it's flat. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter, right? Facts are facts.
So I think that mental side of it, we've talked in the past on the show, I got diagnosed with MS, so I have this health thing that, like, another daily stressor, like waking up every day and wondering, like, why does my toe feel weird today? Is it because I ran yesterday, or is my MS getting worse? Like, I don't know. But, you know, I do some like mentoring with people who are recently diagnosed, and they're two young guys.
John does a lot of that. He's being modest. He does
well,
a lot.
Well, no, I mean, it's something where I've found some purpose in all of it, but two guys probably diagnosed similar age I was, like early 30s. And one of them especially is really struggling with it right now. But, you know, I've told them, I'm like, the MS, like, it sucks, no doubt. Sorry, can I say that word?
Yeah, sucks is okay.
Sucks is okay. That's not on the list. Yeah, on the wall. Okay.
You know, I think if you ask, can I use that word? I don't think you're supposed to repeat the word
right. Sorry.
Again and again.
But anyway, he's, you know, I've told him, I'm like, if you can get the mental side of this figured out, you can like handle any of the physical stuff. But the mental side of it, that fear, that stressor of constantly having that thing that's just like, why does this feel this way? Or why is that? Like, health is just, I mean, whether it's MS, whether it's the mental health, obviously, that, you know, but like other health things.
Yeah,
like,
it's debilitating.
Yeah, I mean, we live in a world where it seems like everyone, like, it seems like once a month you're finding out about somebody you know that has cancer or like whatever, and it's just, and then you throw in COVID, and health can be a massive stressor, for me at least. Like, it's been my whole life.
Same exact way. I'm the same exact way. I've got back issues related to some trauma and whatnot that recently made the connection, and kind of building off John's point, you know, when I wake up, literally the first thing that pops in my head,
how's my back today? Or like,
I start moving and it's like, okay, I can
do it today.
I can feel it. Mm-hmm. Right. And then for the first 45 minutes of my day, and I shouldn't be saying this because it probably sounds like I'm looking for pity, because I'm not, right? Yeah, but for the first 45 minutes of the day.
Do we have the violin?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
We'll put that in later.
That's right. Yeah. It's about getting my back ready with a series of belts and all this crap I got to wear, right? Mm-hmm. And it sucks. So now we know we can do that
word. Yeah, that's okay word.
But that's what it is, right? And so everybody has something like that, though, right? And so
everybody's got their cross, their bearing.
So whatever it is. Yep, whatever it is. And so that's why it's so important, though, it gets addressed, right? It's so important it gets addressed.
And to your point, I think that's why it's important to talk about these things, because a huge part of my MS mental, or like my MS healing journey, was the mental side of it. And it was finding others who were in the same boat, that were having the same stressors, that I could meet once a month and grab a beer with, and, you know, be like, oh, okay, well, this other person's in the same boat I'm in, et cetera, et cetera.
And there's crossover, because there's even people who don't have the same thing, right? So, you know, I have a certain diagnosis which is different from John's, completely different, right? But there's overlap in the sense that there are certain symptoms, if you will, or triggers or whatever that happened to him physically, emotionally, mentally, right? Where I have the same symptoms. And so even though we may not be in this within the same line of a diagnosis, right? Mm-hmm. There is still overlap, right?
So and there's conversation.
And there's a sense of belonging, yes. right?
I mean,
and those
like
things
therapy,
are really important.
Yeah. Right? Yeah. I mean, it's talk therapy.
Exactly.
Anytime you can talk through things, it's cathartic.
Yeah. Yeah. And you get people that can share. And that's where the beauty of conversation comes in, you know, for every subject we deal with. We talk about race and how you have to have a, start a conversation with one another and the commonalities. This, because when, as you guys are talking, it just makes me think about how do we tie the connection points in, you know, and I'm not saying, you know, always say like, well, you know, that's connected to your mental health as well too, you know, but the recognizing that or having that ability to say like, you know, man, I bet that affects your mind too, or your heart, or, you know, however you want to phrase it, because when you can tie those connections in with grief or with illness or with injury, with because you're not alone and you don't have, and finding someone, you know, sometimes that exactly is like John that owns his business that has MS that is the same, you're not going to find that, but like when you can find something where you can share it, that commonality between us makes a big difference.
It makes a huge difference. Uh-oh, heat check.
Oh yeah, Debbie,
heat
from
wisdom.
Yes.
What I was going to say is, and it's probably the same with both physical and mental health issues, how isolating it can be.
Oh.
You know, when you're diagnosed, when you're going through it, whether you're the person or a loved one to that person, it is so isolating. So to be able to talk about it and to understand that, okay, I'm not the only one going through this, and there are people out there who really can help and who really care. There's just great solace in that. And just knowing that, because then you realize, okay, we can get through this.
I agree 1,000%.
It's like that is so true. That is so true.
I like anytime anybody's dealing with anything, I always encourage, like for me, I just, at least for me, again, like everyone's different, but finding other people in that boat is huge. Now, I mean, I guess some people, and everyone has their own style, like maybe it's easier or better for them to work through it, but I don't know. I think there's something to talking and sharing experiences and, hey, what worked, what didn't work, and hey, that doctor's great, or that, like, I don't know, like, why wouldn't you knowledge share?
Mm-hmm.
It seems to be a logical thing.
I can say this, I mean, without, I'll probably remember this moment for the rest of my life, but I remember the first session that I had with my counselor, my therapist, who happens to be the same one that, that John sees also. But when she was explaining, I've been diagnosed with CPTSD, right? I'll just say it. And so when she was explaining kind of what CPTSD looks like, to me, I remember my body just went completely numb while she was saying this. And when we got done, I was just like, I cannot believe that there is somebody else out there that understands what this is like, you know? And then all I had to do.
Was it a relief?
Like, it was a huge, yeah. I mean, I think that's why my body went numb. And I think I shouldn't say for the first time, but one of the few times it was actually a rush of endorphins instead of cortisol, right?
Yeah.
And all I had to do was just Google CPTSD when I knew what it was. And it was just list after list after list about people who have had it, people who, not who have had it, who have it, right?
Mm-hmm.
And just reading the comments, again, it just happened again and again and again. And it just you get more and more and more comfortable with it to the point where I hopefully can be where John is, where somebody else is diagnosed with this and I can say, look, man, I've been there, I can help you out, right?
For me, if nothing else, it just gives purpose to it all. Like I was 100% the why me with my MS diagnosis. What did I do? Why did I deserve this? But, and for me, it was reframing it.
Same here.
And I mean, honestly, most of the time now, not always, you know, you have your 6 good days, 1 bad day, but 6 days of the week, I don't know, the majority of the time, I should just say, it's a blessing to me because it's been a way to like find a lot of purpose that maybe I wasn't finding before. It's a chance to do something bigger than, you know, just living your life and mm-hmm. dying one day and, you know, that was it. Like, I think it's a chance to like help other people.
And let me just real quick give, I don't know where we are in time wise, but let me just give one real world example as to how this practically looks. Mm-hmm. Okay. So when I was first diagnosed, I had the same thing. I mean, it was a gut punch, right? This is the way I would explain it. It was a body blow, mm-hmm. right? I just did not expect it. I don't know what I expected actually, which kind of, whatever. Anyway, so when I started going and dealing with some of these emotions, right? I talked to John a lot early on. And one of the questions I had with John is, dude, at what point did it stop, right? Mm-hmm. How much lower does someone have to go until you kind of, all right, I know what I'm doing now mm-hmm. and I can start building back up. And how did you do that? What kind of mental space did you get in? And he said so many things to help me, but one of the things that he said is, I just got to a point where I realized that this is a blessing and I can do this to try to help other people. And it's my cross to bear. He said all mm-hmm. those same things that mm-hmm. he just said, right? Yeah. And it helped mm-hmm. to hear that day. And it's not like something the next day where I was like, yeah, all right, man, I'm good. Well, right. But I'm getting there and I can look back without a doubt at this leverage point of this conversation that I had with Franco and say, man, that helped me out. And all it took was one simple conversation.
Yeah.
That's it.
Yeah. You opened yourself up.
That's it. Man, mm-hmm. that's how simple it is.
I think it's like right? this idea not to like, I'm not saying, like they don't make movies or write books or like stories haven't been told through the years of people who have like an easy path,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
Like that's like storytelling 101. So if anything, I was like, my life has been charmed and it mm-hmm. still is. I mean, I'm very, very lucky.
We're on a podcast right
yeah,
now.
Yeah, I mean, in air conditioning with
yeah,
coffee.
Yeah,
you
know, yeah,
yeah.
But
I mean, yeah. I have to stand next to you, but
that's true.
You
know,
other than that, that's not a blessing, though.
Yeah. But yeah. that, like, that opportunity it created, or trying to just look at it that way, was huge for me. And for me, my mental side of it, it took about a year for me to wrap my head around mm-hmm. that. Plug for my all-time favorite book, Man's Search for Meaning, Viktor Frankl, which uh-huh. we brought up before. But that one, when I read it, it just like everything clicked. I was like, mm-hmm. oh, okay. Like this guy survived a concentration camp, but still found meaning in life, even though all of his, you know, his family was killed, everybody else, mm-hmm. but like he still found purpose in it all. So I'm like, if that guy can do that, like I can try to find some purpose in this.
Exactly.
And you know what, dude? Franco was Viktor Frankl for me. Think about how crazy that
wow.
is. Like just think about
wow.
it.
Hot take.
And yeah. I'm not, you know, and no, I'm not trying to, yeah. I'm not trying to be like overly weird. Right.
Yeah.
But
yeah,
Franco read a book, right, that got him where he needed to be.
Well, and another buddy recommended it to me because he, I won't say his name, but he experienced hearing loss. And like for him, that was something like, wait, why? I'm in my 30s. Why can I not hear anymore out of this ear?
This is the family tree.
He kind of understood it.
Right? This is the family tree, right? This is the family tree. And so everybody that Franco has touched, it branches out, right? Mm-hmm. And hopefully if I can ever get to a point where there's people that I can help out, there's another family tree.
Well, you're doing right now.
Exactly.
I mean, and so
our 14 million.
Yeah.
And that's right. 14
kids,
million people.
And your kids too. Like you mentioned your kids at the very beginning.
Hopefully,
how are you going to
right? Hopefully different? That's, that's the goal. Right. But that's how, and I don't want to make this overly simplistic because it's not, but it literally was just a conversation with Franco, mm-hmm. just like we've been giving each other a hard time since the first time we met.
Mm-hmm. Well,
it's just a conversation.
Building off your
and it
point
started.
Of like how that's cascading down to your kids. Like I've always said, like I hope my kids look back at me and think that I was closed-minded because I don't think I am.
Yeah.
But I think if we can get generationally better and better, like hopefully your kids look at you and they're like, and not hopefully, but maybe they'll be like, wow, Dad should have talked about mental health even more. But that means that they're even that
yeah,
much further along.
Yeah,
they're
much further along.
That's right. That's called progress. Yeah, that's progress.
So, you know, I think it's, these conversations are happening again. Like Sebastian, if he's watching the NBA, he's going
to
see that ticker as a little kid, like about mental health at the bottom
yeah.
of the screen.
And
that
was,
that wasn't happening
yeah.
when I was a
it
kid.
It seems odd to us,
yeah.
you know, but
mm-hmm.
not odd to the next
yeah.
generation.
Yeah.
But you know, you, and it's not, like you said, it's not simplistic, but at the same time, when you talk about that very first time, like you figured out, you know, with your therapist, like, hey, this is what it is. And that immediate relief by understanding, like, I'm not alone. There's some reasons on why I'm acting like this. And there's an actual diagnosis, which means this must be really popular, right? In that sense. And then, yeah, then it's a journey after that. But right at the very beginning, like that counseling, that discussion, that conversation can boom, you know, just improve your functioning that day.
You know, the minute, and I don't want to be funny about it, right? There's a reason why it's called CPTSD and not severe PTSD.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Or John MS versus just MS, right? Mm-hmm. It's not a specific personal thing. These diagnoses aren't, mm-hmm. right? And the minute, to your point, the minute you realize that, and it's like, holy cow, this guy, these people, it's mm-hmm. going to be, you know, I got a way to move forward,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And so, and that's really important. Right? It's really mm-hmm. important. And let me just say this, the flip side is that, right, whatever somebody needs to kind of use to get better, right? It could be running, it could be movies, mm-hmm. it could be music, it could be whatever it is, right? For my thing, for me, I love quotes, right? Mm-hmm. It's something that I just really like. And one of the quotes that I remember hearing recently was, you cannot actually be strong unless you know what your weaknesses are. I'm paraphrasing, it's something mm-hmm. like that, right? And just, again, it's one of those things that struck, and it's like, look, this is a weakness of mine, right? Mm-hmm. This insecurity that I have and whatnot. If I just address this, then maybe I can be that dad or that husband or all those things that, you know, mm-hmm. that I want to be. And it's not like I made mistakes, you know, that you can't come back from. It's not that. It's just trying to want to be better is all it really is.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
You know, it's just trying to be better. And so, and when you can start doing it, man, there's just so much free joy.
It's like another yeah. weapon, you know, in the arsenal,
yeah.
too.
Yeah.
Like
yeah.
if you have a free strong, joy.
Yeah.
If you've got your headspace in the right place, like that's just another weapon to exactly. go on and do big things.
Be a better, you know, be a better human being.
Yeah,
you
absolutely.
Know, because everybody's at these different places. You know, you see people that live in a very simplistic loft or house or. And they're just happy,
yeah,
right?
Get all
and
that noise out of here.
People say like, oh, don't you want to live in something bigger or don't you want a fancier mm-hmm. car? And they're like, I'm happy.
Yeah,
you
know, I mean, that's the ultimate goal is happiness, right?
Exactly. And they're being the best human being they can be. And that should be good enough for them and for the rest of us that we surround them
yeah,
with.
I mean, Mother Teresa died with what, like $0 to her name yeah. or whatever. And she's probably had a more fulfilling life than
yeah.
anyone on the planet.
Exactly,
so.
Exactly. Yeah. So. Man, this was some amazing conversation.
I feel like we got
again.
Off slow start, or at least
yeah.
I did, but I feel like we got going.
Yeah, there we got going pretty good there.
So maybe just if, well, I guess if they're watching this, I was going to tell them to fast forward.
And then it's already too late.
Yeah.
But then they can tell their friends, like, hey, they start out a little slow, you
yeah.
know, but it gets better
yeah,
as we go.
Time
yeah.
stamp.
They really snowball.
Yeah. yeah.
They really snowball.
Yeah. yeah. Well, and see, that's. I'm closing up here, right? But that's the beauty of conversation, right?
Yep.
You even if you don't really know someone that well, you just start talking. You start talking, you get to know a little bit more. If you're in St. Louis, you ask about what stinking high school you
yeah.
went to. But other than that, it just turns into this, you know, and turns into this energy. And then by the time you're done, it's like, I feel good.
Yeah.
You know, I feel good. So
connections,
once,
man.
Yeah.
It's just personal relationships.
Yeah,
connections.
Exactly. So once again, amazing podcast with the guys here. And man, this will be coming out here, you know, in a few weeks, but after that, it's going to be even more of a summer series, right?
Yeah.
So you guys
board
might be
shorts.
In tank tops.
Yeah, board shorts. The stuff on my nose.
Oh man. Okay. That's, you guys are going to dress like that the next one. Yeah.
Do you still wear that? The baseball, the
eye block,
eye block
yeah,
to
yeah,
work.
Yeah.
yeah.
I
you
run
to work?
With it on.
Okay.
Yeah. Just so you don't get blinded.
Yeah.
By all the.
You still run with your baseball glove?
Yeah. It, okay. Well, it's in my.
Okay.
Waistband.
Like your fanny pouch?
Yeah, fanny
yeah,
pouch
like
too.
The hook that goes on the fanny pouch.
Right,
yeah.
right. They all kind of,
yeah.
yeah.
Yeah, beautiful.
Look like the old prospector.
Exactly.
What about the gap, any resin on there?
Not, yeah, a little, a
yeah.
little, a little.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, you know what? Let me just say about that, because there's the big, you know, scandal yesterday with the Cardinals and everything about supposedly he had the reliever had some stuff on the cap, you know, and then he had to change his hat and everything. So then Mike Schilt, Cardinals manager, gets thrown out of the game because he's arguing. So I hear a little, you know, media this morning from St. Louis talking about it, and they're already throwing shade at the Cubs reliever from last weekend. Well, you know, he was touching his cap a lot. I'm like, typical Cardinal fan. Well, typical Cardinal fan, not hitting the
sometimes we
most
get
relevant.
Distracted by all our trophies and our series.
Well, this has been a great podcast, Mental Health Matters. So, hey, though, guys, if you're serious about looking into this, check us out on our website, stlouiscounseling.org. And as always, remember, mental health matters. Thanks, guys. We'll see you soon.
Cardinals have 9 trophies. The Cubs have 1.